The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Do you struggle with using foul language? Well, if I'm being honest, I know that I do sometimes. That's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and hopefully my little confession there doesn't run you off, and that's because we have a very interesting discussion ahead of us today. We got a great question from a listener, and it goes something like this. Why does foul language, I hear, seem to get trapped in my head so that it seems like they are my own words? What an honest question. You know, if you've got an honest question or any question at all, you can send it to us through email, radio@faithalone.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, if you're interested in these types of subjects that we talk about on Grace and Focus, you are very likely going to be interested to find out that we put on a national Bible conference once a year. It's a great time to take a deep dive into God's Word and fellowship with other believers. You can find out all about that by going to faithalone.org and clicking on events. So we look forward to seeing you there. Well, let's go right to today's interesting discussion about foul language with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome back, Bob. Are you ready for?
I'm ready to
ready
roll.
Ready
to rumble.
What have you been working on today, by the way?
Well, I've been working on our Amazon overseas books things. We did just try as an experiment to put Faith Alone in 100 Verses on sale in the U.S. and overseas with, what's it called, KDP, Kindle?
It's Amazon. We publish our books through Amazon. So if you live in an international country that uses Amazon, you can order our books through Amazon. You don't need to call us and pay crazy amounts for shipping. It's so expensive for us to ship books overseas. So it's better just to go to Amazon Australia and just order our books through that.
And the amazing thing is, when you change the price on the U.S. and put Faith Alone and 100 Verses on sale, boom, it changed in about 12 or 15 countries, whatever countries that Amazon prints in, they all changed instantly.
Hey, we need to get out there, by the way, to do a conference. We have all these points that we need to use up, and I'd love to use them for an Australian conference if someone would invite us.
I think all our points would go to fly one of us to Australia.
Probably true. Here's a question from Edgar. Edgar says, years ago when I was a teenager, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I believed he is God in the flesh and my Savior. But one day I heard someone using foul curses against God, and they stuck in my head. And after a while, it felt like I was saying them in my head. And I would weep and weep, asking God to forgive me. I didn't want those words in my head. And then I started to think about what Jesus said about blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. I couldn't even look at his words because I hated to hear about this subject because I had these awful words in my head and I was afraid that I had committed this awful sin. Any comment about that?
Well, several things. First of all, Edgar, it sounds like you may have an issue with obsessive compulsive or obsessive compulsive disorder, where thoughts get trapped in your brain and you can't hardly get rid of them.
Right.
I'm obsessive compulsive. I'm not yet to the point of obsessive compulsive disorder, and I pray I never get there. But we do hear from lots of people that have OCD and that take medication for it. And if you do have that, make sure you're taking your medication. Because for most people, if you hear a curse word, that word doesn't get trapped in your brain, right, Sean? I mean,
not the way he's describing, but you can remember it. I can't unhear that, or I can't unsee that.
Right. That's the problem with pornography, right?
Yeah.
People look at pornography, and it's hard for them to get that out of their brain. But it seems to me bad words are a little bit different in the sense that, for the most part, most of us can hear somebody drop an F-bomb, and it doesn't just keep resonating in our head. But several things are alarm bells for me. First of all, he said, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.
Right.
That doesn't sound like I believed in him for my eternal destiny. I believed him for what he promises, everlasting life. It sounds like a very confusing statement of how he was born again.
Right. It's not clear that, you know, in what sense he believed in Jesus as his Savior. And that's certainly pertinent to his question.
It is, because it sounds like he's afraid that he's blaspheming the Holy Spirit and therefore he's not saved and he's on his way to the lake of fire.
Right.
And sounds like he does not yet understand and believe the message of John 3:16.
Right.
I mean, he believes Jesus is God. He believes Jesus is his Lord and Savior, but he doesn't believe he's his Savior in the sense that he saved him.
Right.
I think he believes he's his Savior in the sense that he died for him.
Yeah.
Well, it's sadly possible to believe that in some sense Jesus is my Savior in the sense that he died for me, but he hasn't actually saved me.
Yeah.
That's a tragic thing, and there's how many millions of people in Christianity that would say Jesus is my Savior or Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and yet if you ask them, are you sure that you're going to spend eternity with Jesus in his kingdom, they'd say no.
Right.
And the reason is they think there's some kind of moral requirement to get into the kingdom. I've got to persevere in good works. Or maybe I've got to persevere in faith and good works.
Or I can't have these thoughts always in my head.
Right. If I have these bad thoughts, somehow I wouldn't be born again. So you've got two issues going on here. First of all, Edgar, it is not good to be paralyzed by thoughts that are bouncing around in your head. Even if you're sure you have everlasting life, to have paralyzing thoughts like that is a bad thing.
Yeah.
So that needs to be dealt with, and I'm not sure how you're going to deal with that. Clearly, Scripture can help. Memorizing Scripture can help you. Going to counseling can help you. If you do have OCD, taking medication can help you. But that's something that needs to be addressed. But secondarily is the issue of your doubts. And I have an article on our website, faithalone.org, on the three passages dealing with the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And what I suggest is, it's quite possible that sin cannot even be committed today because Jesus is not present doing miracles. What the sin was someone looking at the miracles of Jesus and saying, these are not the work of the Holy Spirit, these are the work of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, blaspheming the Holy Spirit is attributing Jesus' works to the works of the devil. But even if it is possible to commit it today, there's no indication that anybody ever committed it. In other words, the people that Jesus was telling this to, he didn't say you've already committed it. He warned them about committing it.
Right.
And so it seems to me a person would have to be very intentional in order to commit this sin. They'd have to try to commit the sin.
Yeah. And also, is it even clear what the consequence is? I mean, he says they won't be forgiven. But
right.
But what does that, you know, what people automatically think that means, I'm going to get tossed into the lake of fire. I don't think that's what he says.
Well, you know, you're raising a good point, Sean, and I've been thinking through this whole issue of forgiveness. I think it would mean that the person is out of fellowship with God and that that would continue to death. Now, if this is an unbeliever, I'm assuming if they actually did commit this sin, then they're probably going to be locked in that unbelief. But could a believer commit this sin? Well, you're raising a different question. And I can't remember, what is it? Is it Matthew?
Mark 3. It's the passage where, you know, Jesus talks about a house divided cannot
so
stand.
28 through 30.
And in 28, he says,
30, yeah.
Assuredly, I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men and whatever blasphemies they may utter. Imagine that. Jesus is willing to forgive blasphemies. I mean, just focus on the grace that is available there. But then he says, but he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation. Okay, so there's eternal condemnation there.
Right. Of course, it depends on what is subject to eternal condemnation means. Does that mean if they continue in this sin that at some point they will be eternally condemned? Or does this mean all people who commit this sin, if it is even possible to commit it today, experience eternal condemnation? But ultimately, I would say that this sin is not one that people commit today, I don't believe. And I certainly don't think Edgar's committed it by somehow having profanity bounce around in his head. To use profanity is not blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. If it were, then you'd have pretty much the entire population of the United States having committed this sin, because How many people aren't using profanity today?
Right.
Not too many.
Here's a parallel from Luke. Luke 12, he says, I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man will also confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And typically we say that's kind of a rewards concept. Right. 10, and anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. This is the passage I was thinking about. It's like, is the not forgiveness tied to rewards?
I mean, it seems to me you have the possibility that maybe it would be conceivable a believer could commit this sin. And if so, the believer would miss out on rewards at the judgment seat of Christ and would experience judgment in this life, but not eternal condemnation. And if an unbeliever commits it, well, of course, unless they were to come to faith, they would experience eternal condemnation. But the bottom line is, I don't think people commit this sin today. And secondarily, it's certainly not using profanity or having profanity in your head. So I would suggest, Edgar, make sure you know you have eternal life simply by faith in Christ apart from works. I mean, what does John 3:16 say? That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, which is a reference to the incarnation, the perfect life of Christ, and also his substitutionary death on the cross for our sins and his resurrection from the dead and ascension to heaven. So he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him, there's nothing about behavior, whoever believes in him will not perish but has everlasting life. So it's a guarantee, Edgar, if you believe in Jesus, you're guaranteed you will never perish and that you have everlasting life. So I hope you will modify your testimony to the point where you say, at some point I recognized I didn't have everlasting life and I needed it, and I learned through the Bible that the way to get it is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I did, and I got what he promised, everlasting life.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to answer a number of different questions from listeners just like you. So, tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.